might have, the finance department doing their financial stuff. And what they do is not anything like what the other people do. There are these very different jobs. Chapter 12, and we're going to read this text, a few verses here, and a few verses in Romans chapter 12. And what we want to take out of these verses is that different people have different gifts or jobs, and these gifts or jobs are assigned by God. They're assigned by God. They're not a calling of God. They're not attained in some other way. There's differences, and it comes from God. So to work today, if you go to another company, if you are having, you want a different position, you might have to think, how am I going to position myself to get this job or position that I want? You know, what am I going to do to get there? And you have to apply, like, oh, this is opening. Let me apply here. Let me try to get this job. You know, you might be some job that you have to spend years going to school for so that you can get someday. You know, you don't get this driving call to it.
You think of Athaliah. She didn't become queen through a godly means, right?
She usurped the throne. She didn't go in there. The only way that she could rightfully get in there as king was through the calling of God. And let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 9. We'll see that this was true with Saul, and it was true with David, and it was true with the kings of Israel. God still anointed a king every time a dynasty displaced another dynasty. God anointed them to be king. Samuel chapter 9, verse 21, Samuel has come to Saul and told him that he's going to be king. verse 21, and Saul answered and said, "Am I not a Benjamite of the smallest of the tribes of Israel?
And my family
the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin. Why then do you speak like this to me?" This is Saul's reaction. Benjamin here is the smallest tribe, and they were the smallest tribe at this point because all of them but 400 men had been killed at the end of the book of Judges, right? So they were probably the smallest tribe at this point. And Saul's like, my family's nothing big. It's a small family. I'm nobody. I shouldn't be king. Yet God anointed him, and Saul became king through the calling and anointing and election of God. We know that this is the case for David, too. Samuel later goes and anoints David. This is how he became king. This is not something that he came about through another means. It was strictly through the calling and election of God. We can think of prophets as well. Let's turn to Amos chapter 7. Anyone who is a prophet in the Old Testament didn't go to prophecy school and learn how to be a prophet.
This is not how you came by being a prophet. And it was not that your father was a prophet,
so that therefore you are a prophet.
If you were a prophet, a rightful prophet,
if you were not a false prophet,
it was through the calling and election of God. And here in Amos chapter 7,
and this is one example, there's multiple examples in the prophets where the prophets, we see that they are called by God, and it's not any doing of their own. They are just responding to the call of the Lord. The Lord calls to them, and they respond to that call and answer it.
And in Amos chapter 7, Amos is prophesying up in Israel, and he's told by Amaziah,
"Go down to Judah and make your living prophesying down there. Get out of Israel. Stop prophesying here in the northern kingdom. You need to leave." And
in Amos chapter 7, verse 14, we read that Amos answered and said to Amaziah, "I was no prophet, nor was I a son of a prophet, but I was a sheep leader in the tender of sycamore fruit."
So Amos is like, "Look, I was just bringing the sheep, taking care of the sycamore fruit. This is who I was." And he goes on in verse 15.
"Then the Lord took me as I followed the flock, and the Lord said to me, 'Go prophesy to my people Israel.'"
So here he says, "The Lord took me. The Lord called me. And he sent me. I was just looking after the sheep, and if they were up to me, that's probably where I'd be right now, following the flock still. But the Lord called me. This is how I became a prophet and why I stand here prophesying. I'm not sitting here like, I wonder if I could become a prophet and get a big following together and become famous and become rich. This is not what Amos is doing. He's like, the Lord called me. And, he's also not saying, I want to serve the Lord. Let me quit the ministry of prophecy to serve the Lord, right? And go be a prophet. It's not what Amos does. Amos is called by God. That's how you enter any given ministry in God's system. Likewise, we can think the same about priesthood, right? And we know the story of priests. God called Aaron, and who was going to be a priest after Aaron? It was only his sons. His sons and only his sons. And this was by the calling of God. No man placed this upon himself, as we read in Hebrews. Actually, let's turn there. Hebrews chapter 5.
Hebrews chapter 5, and we'll start reading in verse 1. "For every high priest taken from among men is appointed for men in the things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is also subject to weakness. Because of this, he is required, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer sacrifices." And here the author of Hebrews is speaking of the high priest. And then in verse 4 he says, "And no man takes this honor to himself." No man takes this honor to himself, This is not something that any man does of his own. The only way that you are going to be high priest is by the calling of God. Verse 4 again, "No man takes this honor to himself, but he who is called by God, just as Aaron was." The only way to enter this ministry is through the calling of God. Verse 5, "So also Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest, but it is he who has said to him, 'You are my son, today I have begotten you.' As he also says in another place, 'You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek.'" And the author of the book of Hebrews Hebrews, starting with pointing out that no earthly high priest, no one of the descendants of Aaron, gained this position through his own means, took this upon himself. It was strictly through the calling of God. Likewise, with the Lord Jesus, he didn't glorify himself to become high priest. He follows the same pattern. He was high priest by the calling and election of God. One more example that we can think of just really quick. The 12 disciples. Which one of them applied to be a disciple? You know, how did they get into this position? All of them were called to this ministry by God. The idea of this ministry probably never went through any of their minds until they're sitting there fishing one day and the Lord just called them out of the boat. This is how they came on this ministry. It was through the calling and election of God. That's how God's system operates. God operates through calling and election. Here in, going back to the U.S., theoretically at least, who gets hired for which job, if we think about this in the U.S., is supposed to be the best candidate for the job, which is by work. The one who works for the best takes the job. You can think of other systems where generally you need strong family connections to get any kind of position, right? It's about who your family is. God, with God, it's through his calling and election. In God's system, ministry comes through the calling and election of God. Let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. Peter chapter 1, and see, this is true also for the believer's ministry. And we saw this in 1 Corinthians 12 and in Romans 12, that the believer's ministry is set by the call of God. God chooses what it is. And in 2 Peter chapter 1, we read, Simon Peter, a bondservant, in verse 1, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith. And what I want to pull out of this first verse is that he's writing to believers here. He's writing to believers. What does he say? To those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. So here he's writing to those who have obtained faith. He's writing to believers. Go down to verse 5. And Peter writes, for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And he's talking about adding these various characteristics to your life, right? Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. So Peter's talking about adding all these things to your life, right? You need to add these as a believer. And he says in verse 8, for if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he says, if you have these things, you won't be unfruitful in ministering to the Lord Jesus Christ. You won't be barren. You know, you will be able to minister effectively if you have these. And then he says in verse 9, for he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Once again, driving home that he's speaking to believers. He says, he who lacks these things has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. And then in verse 10, he says, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. And many people would believe this or read this and say, make sure that you're really saved. And I pointed out his writing to believers because my take on this at least, which if this verse encourages to make sure that you're really saved, that's a great thing to do. So, regardless, that's a good thought to have here. But my take on this is, you know, he's talked about ministry and not being unfruitful. He's saying, make sure that you're calling, make your calling and election sure. Make sure that you're following the calling and the election of God as you try to minister for the Lord Jesus. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. So here, as believers, when it comes to ministry, we need to make sure that we're following the calling and election of God, that we don't take any ministry on ourselves, rather that we follow the calling and election of God. Now, in the system of calling and election that God operates on when it comes to ministry within the church, there's two big sins that you can commit in this system, and they're pretty straightforward. One is not being faithful to what God has called you to, right? faithful to what God has called you to. And the second is trying to go off and minister apart from the calling of God. Like, these are the two-sided sins in this God system of calling and election. And let's think about this for a minute. You know, failing to be faithful to God's calling and election. Do people do this? And the answer is yes. God calls many people to many things that they fail to be faithful in. They are not faithful to God's call in the things he's called them. We can think of King Saul. We thought of him already. God called him to be king, and Saul ultimately failed. And if you read all the dialogue between him and Samuel, Saul failed and failed and failed again. He did not live up to the calling of the Lord. Think of another famous example. Think of Jonah. You know, God called him to go to Nineveh, and what does Jonah do? He doesn't live up to that calling. And this is a big sin. It was a big sin by Saul. It's a big sin by Jonah to not live up to that calling and to try to flee from the calling of God. You know, even though Jonah ultimately goes back to Nineveh and fulfills the calling of God in his life, it was wrong for him to fail to live up to that calling. When people are called, you can fail. You can think of Judas as maybe the ultimate example. The Lord called him to be one of his disciples, and it's hard to fall short more than Judas. In fact, I don't know if it's possible for a human being to fall further short of God's calling than Judas. Okay? Judas is another one. And we can think of our own lives. You know, are we faithful to everything that God has called us to? You know? And if you think about it too hard, you're probably going to realize that no, you're not. And I think about things God has called me to do, do I really put in my best effort to be faithful to God in them? You know, it can be things like preparing to speak at the meeting, you know? There's a strong correlation between how much time I spend preparing and how well it goes, right? And I know this, you know? So when you're scheduled to speak, through the calling of God, are you faithful to that? We can fall short of it. There are times where God lays on our hearts to, you know, maybe minister to somebody, maybe encourage somebody. And it's easy to be like, I just don't feel like it right now, whatever, right? Are you faithful to the calling of God in your life? God calls us, it's a big sin to not be faithful. On the flip side, it's a big sin to attempt to minister apart from God's calling and God's election. You know, sometimes people will look at some ministries and be like, I wish I had that ministry that God has put somebody else in and attempt to do it. Let's look at an example. Let's go to Acts chapter 8. Let's see the example of Simon. Think about the example of Simon. He sees the ministry of the apostles and he covets it for himself and wants to go minister there. In this ministry that he has not been called to by God. And here in Acts chapter 8, Philip has gone down to Samaria and he witnessed to people. A bunch of people have gotten saved. Among them is Simon the sorcerer, the former sorcerer. He's been saved with a bunch of other people. And we'll start reading, I guess, after the disciples hear that that people have been saved there, Peter and John go down and they start ministering among them to help build up the church. And we start reading in verse 14. Now, when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who went, and when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands upon them, and they received the Holy Spirit. So here Peter and John come down. And whoever they laid their hands on, these people received the Holy Spirit. And this was the ministry that God gave to Peter and John. Right? Verse 18. When Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter said to him, your money perished with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this your wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. So here we have money to let him have this ministry. And this happens in our world too. You know, there are people who attempt to carry out ministries that they're not called to by God. And we can probably think of examples.
I'm not going to give an example of any specific person here, but you can probably think of examples of
people who attempt to minister apart from God. You know, they really want this other ministry instead of the ministry that God has called them to.
And some of them, like
with the example of Peter and John, Peter and John have a very, you know, glorious ministry, if you will. Where they lay hands on to see the Holy Spirit. Like, look at this. It's easy to look at these people who God has called to, you know, really great ministry.
You can look at, you can look at Billy Graham, for instance. Look how many people get saved, got saved as he preached. You know, wouldn't it be great to have a ministry like that in covenant?
But it's wrong for us to attempt to minister apart from God's calling.
You know, people go to the mission field too, who are not called by God. And it, you know,
ends disastrously,
right?
Like, this happens in our world. People covet ministries that God has not called them to. They attempt to minister apart from the calling and election of God, and it doesn't go well. You can think also of, you know, maybe an issue in the, or beyond maybe, an issue in many churches today, is they have this issue of whether women should be up speaking and preaching from the pulpit. And God is clear in His Word that it's not for a woman to teach, but there's like this ministry that they're not called to, that some people, you know, try to trespass and try to enter into. Ministry is strictly by the calling and election of God. And, you know, this leads us to, we can also think, so we have these two things, failing to be faithful to God's calling, which can be difficult, and then attempting to minister apart from God's calling. And it brings us to, we as human beings think about fairness to these ministries, don't we? You know, it's natural to do, why does this person get called to do this, and I have to do this over here? Why is God calling one person to do what I want to do? Why is He calling me to do this thing I don't want to do? We can think these thoughts. And, you know, maybe this is a topic for another day, because I feel like I'm going to run way over if I start diving into this. So let me just try to wrap this up here. Because God's system revolves around calling and election, we as believers have to listen to God's voice. That's the only way it works. We can't function in God's system, ministering in the church, if we're not like those sheep, listening to God's voice, if we're not listening to it. And, you know, this is something we all know. We need to listen to the voice of the Lord. And this is just kind of a, you know, side message of one reason why we always need to be listening to the voice of the Lord. But, you know, if you're not listening to the voice of the Lord, God's system doesn't work, right? God's system only works when people listen to the calling and the election of God. And so, just like the sheep and the shepherd, we've got to listen to God's voice. And this is something that is learned over time. You can think of Old Testament persons. Think of Samuel, for instance. When he was young, the Lord's voice called to him, and he didn't recognize the Lord's voice, right? He's going to Eli. Like, I don't know who's calling me. I thought it was you, Eli, but it was the Lord. Later in his life, we do not see Samuel being confused when God talks to him. You know, he's learned the voice of the Lord over time. It's the same for us. You can say it with, think of Jacob as well. The first time God appeared to him, he says, I'm the God of your father, Abraham, and the God of your father, Isaac. He introduces himself. He tells Jacob, this is who I am. Why? Jacob doesn't know his voice yet. Later in his life, the introduction is skipped. Jacob knows God's voice. The same with Moses and many other people, right? In the burning bush passage, God tells him, I'm the God of your father Abraham, the God of your father Isaac, the God of your father Jacob. He introduces himself, but later in Moses' life, he just talks to him as a man talks with his friend face to face, right? Moses knows his voice. Likewise for us, as we live our Christian lives, the Lord's voice is something that has to be learned. And if we're going to function in God's system of the church and minister, we have to learn His voice. And we have to follow His voice. Because that is how the church is built. That's how God's economy works. It works strictly off of calling and election, and there's no other way in which things work. Let's close with a word of prayer. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for choosing to minister through us and for the way that you have set up the church. And we recognize that your system of calling and election is better than what we would have conceived. And we pray that we would be good at hearing your voice and following it, that we'd be willing to follow the calling which you've called each one of us to do, and that we would not stray off and try to minister according to our own ambitions, but rather that we would wait for the calling and voice of your calling and your voice, and that we would follow them and be faithful to the calling which you've given us. We thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who brought each one of us together in this room this day. We pray that you would watch over us as we go about our lives throughout the course of this week, and that you would bless us and keep us and help us to remain faithful to